If you would turn your Bibles in John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. Still trying to catch my breath after that, and I wasn't even singing. And just praise the Lord for that tonight. The presentation through song tonight by the choir and the work put into it by every member and Brother Jeremiah and the pianist and the narration, everything just going along together. And I want to look tonight in John chapter number 1, and obviously we had the cantata tonight, but the most important part is God's Word and the preaching of it, not because I'm delivering it, but because that's what God has put forth in His Word for us. And so I just want to read a couple of verses here in John chapter number 1, not the typical Christmas passage that you might find from Luke or from Matthew, but John chapter number 1, I just want to read a couple of verses here. Verse number 9 says, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Let's pray, and we'll get into the message tonight. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for just, Father, the presentation tonight through song by choir, Lord, and the truth that you did come, and Lord, what your coming represented for every single one of us, for all of mankind, for all of human history, for all of your creation here on this world. And Father, I pray now as we turn to your word, Lord, that you would just stir our hearts, Lord. I pray that you just help our hearts and our minds to be open for what you have for us tonight in these next few moments. And Father, I pray just help me to be clear, Lord. I pray my mind would be clear, and Father, I'd just be a tool in your hand, and you just help me to present exactly what your word has for us tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just touch the preaching of it. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to hearts, and Lord, I pray that you'd help us to respond as necessary, and we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. John chapter number 1 speaks of many things about the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact that he was in the beginning, Word, he was with God, and he was God, and it speaks of those things as you go through, and it comes through 9, 10, and 11, and talks about the fact that he did come unto his own, and his own received him not, and you think about him as a gift from God to all of mankind. And we come to Christmas time, and you might think about the different gifts you've received over the past Christmas years, and usually the ones that stick out the most in your mind are the ones that meant the most to you, or the ones that you were most appreciative for. And I want you to think about that. What's the best Christmas gift you've ever received? What's the best Christmas gift you've ever received? Now, some might say, get all emotional on us and say it was the birth of a child or the announcement of their own child and finding out around Christmas time. And certainly that would be something special as well. Some might say, probably a female might say their favorite Christmas gift was a pair of shoes that they received. Maybe for some others, it's something sentimental that was handmade by a child and given to them. And still others might say that their favorite gift was a vacuum cleaner or an iron. I hear that women love those gifts at Christmas time, and so I've spent my time at Bed Bath & Beyond, and I'm ready to go for Christmas for my wife. Others might say it's the latest gadget, the fanciest electronic, or the tablet, or a computer, or something of that sort, a television. Some maybe would say that it's hunting gear or jewelry. But, you know, I could say that just in thinking about this in recent terms, that the best gift I've ever received, it was something very sentimental, something very special to me. I actually received it just last Christmas from my wife. And it was the best Christmas gift I've received in a long time. See, I had this terrible problem. I can't remember most of the gifts I received, but I remember this one. This one was very special. She teased me with it quite a bit. She said, you know, you'll never guess what it is. It's something that you quite possibly would want for yourself, but you would never buy for your own. And so I was really trying to figure out what that could possibly be. And my wheels were turning. I'm trying to think about that. Abby knew what it was, and so Abby certainly rubbed it in that she knew, and she was so excited and just couldn't wait for Christmas Day when I was going to sit there and open that present. Even Jordan Sumner knew, and he would tell me every time he saw me, "You're going to love it. Jen and I thought about getting it for you, but you're going to love it." And so Christmas morning rolled around, and I opened up the best Christmas present I ever received. It was a pair of pants. Now, these weren't just any pants. These were very special pants, okay? These hold a very dear place in my heart. These were life-changing pants, if I could tell you that, this evening. Now, these pants were special because of several unique features that they had. One of the things they had was all up and down each side were snaps. So you could actually, they were basketball pants. You wore them over your basketball clothes, and when it was time to play basketball, it was convenient. You didn't have to just take them off. You just unsnapped them, and you're ready to go. That's great. That's an excellent feature. But also on these pants were vertical stripes. Vertical stripes. I hear vertical stripes are very slimming, so that's a nice thing to have. You know, I need to look taller, so vertical stripes are great. But they also featured the two most beautiful colors ever paired together, cream and crimson. If you don't know what I'm talking about the official Adidas pants worn by the Indiana Hoosiers known as the Candy Stripes. Anybody know what I'm talking about, the candy stripe pants? And so I got candy stripe pants, and I was so excited. I couldn't believe it. Opened it up on Christmas morning. I was stunned. I truly was stunned. I never thought I would own a pair. I won't tell you the original price. I know my wife didn't pay it, but I would never pay the original price. I would have to sell a small child to be able to pay for them. But I got them, and I'm very thankful for that gift. That gift meant a lot to me. It truly has enriched my life, okay? Now, that's just kind of a silly illustration, get us thinking about gifts. But I can tell you this, that on a more serious note, I think all of us tonight would agree that the greatest gift ever given was God's gift to mankind in the person of Jesus Christ. Just as the choir so beautifully presented tonight, Jesus came. Yes, he came as a baby boy. As Mary wrapped Jesus in those swaddling clothes and laid him there in a manger, she was presenting to the world God's gift to all of mankind. What a wonderful, gracious, unbelievable gift. In fact, God tells us in John chapter number 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Can I tell you this tonight, that Jesus was no ordinary man. He was the only begotten Son of God. He was born in a miraculous event to a virgin, and he lived a sinless, perfect life. He died a cruel death on a cross, but he didn't stay in the grave. He resurrected 3 days later. There's no doubt that Jesus came. History supports the fact that Jesus came. This Bible teaches us that Jesus came. Generations and generations and generations of Christians and churches prove to us that Jesus came. He came as a gift from God for a very specific purpose, to pay for our sins. I want you to think about that this evening. What will ultimately determine a person's eternal destination and a place called heaven or a place called hell is what they choose to do with that gift. When it comes to gifts, and specifically the gift that God gave us, there's really only two options. First of all, that gift can be rejected. Look at verse number 11. Verse number 11, it says this in verse number 11. You're familiar with it. It says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's speaking specifically about the fact that Jesus was a Jew returning to the Jews as their Savior. But the question is, how did they respond to his coming? You can see this, it mentions it a couple different times through chapter number 1. Look at verse number 5. It says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Speaking about Jesus, he shined into darkness, not just the Jews, but the world itself, and it says they comprehended it not. That means that they simply just didn't even take it in. They didn't even absorb it. They didn't even think about it. They didn't even let it touch their minds, their hearts, or their lives. Then it says there in verse number 10, it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." So not only did the world not comprehend him, it says that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and considering all of that, they knew him not. To me, that kind of blows my mind, the fact that he is in all of creation around us. He's the one responsible for creation. He came and lived a sinless, perfect life. He came as promised and was born into Bethlehem as a babe to the Virgin Mary, and yet the Jews still rejected him. They said, you know what? We're not interested. They knew him not. They didn't even perceive that it was God in the flesh. And of course, as we read in verse number 11, they received him not. The Jews received him not to the point that they crucified him. That they were the ones calling for him to die on a cross for what they considered to be lies that he told. But he can be rejected. You know, it's difficult for me, and I think it's difficult for most Christians to understand how someone could reject that gift. How could somebody reject that gift? Even talking to Brother Paul Ellis this morning, just thinking about this, how God time and time again showed his patience, especially to the children of Israel, and offered his son, Jesus Christ, and yet they continually reject him. But honestly, there was just no appreciation for what Christ did for them. They were looking not for a spiritual salvation, they were looking for political salvation. And because of that, they just simply weren't interested and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected what God was offering them. You know, I mentioned in that illustration those pants, those candy stripe pants that belonged to the Indiana Hoosiers. You know, I can think of at least two people in this room that would gladly reject that gift. I think about Brother Eric Hopkins. If that gift was given to him, he'd say, no, thank you. I don't want any part of that, because he's a fan of PU, Purdue University. And then there's another person in here that would reject that I know for sure, and that's Brother Bob Ruth. Why? Because he's a fan of UCK, the University of Kentucky. All right, so those people, they wouldn't appreciate that. And that's just kind of a silly illustration, but I want to help you understand this, that people reject the Lord Jesus Christ because they're just not interested. They don't want that in their life, or maybe they don't even know. But even in the Christmas story, people rejected that. People rejected Christ. You think about Herod in Matthew chapter number 2. He knows, he sees the star. He knows the stir that's going on. He knows that there's something significant taking place. He calls the wise men together and says, what's going on? And they say it was prophesied that the king of the Jews is born. And so he said, all right, go find where he's at. Come back and report it to me. And then once they didn't return, the Bible tells us in Matthew 2:16 that when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was exceeding wroth. And sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. He rejected. On that Christmas story, in Matthew chapter number 2, Herod the king rejected Jesus Christ. He rejected the gift, the fact that Jesus came, and he chose there to reject it. Now people today reject Christ for a variety of reasons. Some people might reject Jesus Christ because he conflicts with their lifestyle. Others might reject him because it opposes what they were raised to believe. Still, some might think that he interferes with their own desires or their own wills. Then there are those that just simply don't want to be accountable to any higher power or to any creator. Then there's those that just believe there can't be just one way. It can't be that easy. But with rejecting that gift comes also the rejection of the benefits that can be enjoyed from it in salvation. So the gift can be a gift, and specifically the gift of Jesus Christ from God to the world. It can be rejected, but also in verse number 12, it can be received. Look at verse 12. Verse 11, read that again. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. But, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You see, with this gift, when God gave this gift to all of mankind, he wasn't going to force it upon them. He wasn't going to force them to take it or force them to accept it. They had to make the choice. And he says here that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I can tell you this tonight, there may be those that will reject God's gift, but praise God, there will be many that will receive it as well. And by receiving God's gift, we become a child of God. Even as Brother Andy talked about this morning, the adoption, being adopted into the family of God and the benefits that come immediately along with that, we can receive so much by receiving Jesus as our Savior, by receiving that gift. Obviously, first of all, with salvation. With salvation. We're sinners in need of a Savior. And the song sung tonight, he came as a Savior. He came to be our Savior, to offer salvation. But also we can have his presence in our everyday life. We can have his power in our daily living. His promises are there throughout scriptures that we can claim. His provision to meet our needs and his protection from the enemy is all available by accepting, by receiving that gift that God offers to all of mankind. You know, in the same passage where Herod rejects that gift, we see the wise men receive it. Think about that. In verse number 11 of chapter 2 in Matthew, it says, and when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. Think about in that case. Here you have Herod, the one that is rejecting the Christ, the one that wants to kill all the babies in Israel, all the babies in Bethlehem, trying to wipe them out. And yet we see the wise men show up and they see Jesus and they worship him. They receive it. That yes, this is the Son of God. This is his gift. And they received it. I want to ask you this question tonight. Have you received that gift? Have you received that gift? Now, when it comes to receiving gifts, I know this, that there is a specific time and a place and a moment that I could point at when I received certain gifts in my life. When I talked about and spoke of the candy stripe pants, I remember sitting around with my immediate family around the Christmas tree and on Christmas morning, and I remember opening it, and I remember that like it was yesterday. It wasn't like I've just always had those pants. It's not like I received them when I was 4 years old and somebody told me that I received it when I was 4 years old. No, I remember the moment that I made the choice to receive and accept those pants. And can I tell you this evening, that I remember a moment as well when I received the gift of Jesus Christ as my Savior. I remember as an 11-year-old boy here at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, sitting in the second row about where Miss Doris Sears is, and I remember tapping Mrs. Tin on the shoulder after the end of a message and telling her, you know what, I'm not sure I'll go to heaven when I die. And I remember going forward during the invitation and kneeling down on this front pew right here with Brother Steve Ellis, has the Bible open next to me and showed me from the Bible how I can know for sure that I have forgiveness of sins, how I can know for sure that I have a home in heaven. And that moment I bowed my head and I prayed and I chose to accept the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. I remember that. There was a point in time, and I remember that. So I want to ask you that this evening. Do you know that there's a point and a time and a moment in your heart and life when you accepted, when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Now, you might be here tonight and you say, Brother Aaron, I've done that. And that's great. But I want to ask you this. Are you sharing him with others? Are you sharing that gift with others? Because what's neat is this is a gift that can be regifted. It can be regifted. Does anybody know what regifting is? Has anybody heard of that? Don't act like you don't know, okay? Regifting is when you receive a gift from someone and you decide that you don't really want it, or it's not really useful, or maybe it's a duplicate, and so you store it in a closet somewhere, or on a shelf, or in a tub somewhere, and then the next opportunity you have to give someone a gift, you go, you grab that, you wrap it up, and you give it to them. Just be careful not to re-gift it to the person that gave it to you. Now, I know that's kind of a negative connotation of re-gifting, and we're laughing at that, but think about it in the spiritual sense. This is one that we can re-gift. This is one that we can receive and then turn around and share with others. You know, what's amazing is that most gifts aren't meant to be shared. The pants I received aren't meant to be shared. I'm not walking around sharing those with anybody else. Those are mine. I'm going to keep them to myself. But think about this. When we receive salvation, when we receive the gift of Jesus Christ as our Savior, it's a gift that's meant to be shared with others. It's a gift that's meant to be shared with our family. It's a gift that's meant to be shared with our friends. It's a gift that's meant to be shared with our neighbors and our loved ones. It's a gift that's meant to be shared with those we go to school with and those we work with. It's a gift that's meant to be shared with all of the world. Also in the Christmas story, I think of the shepherds and their regifting. In Luke chapter number 2, verse 17, after meeting the Christ child, it says, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." After the shepherds saw and believed and received Jesus Christ and said, "This is the Son of God. This is just who the angel said he was when they told us to come and see him. This is exactly who he was." They couldn't wait to make it known and to spread it abroad. They shared it with others. They regifted it with others. Can I tell you this evening that the best gift I ever received, although I said it was those pants, that was just a joke, the best gift I've ever received is Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I realized that I was a sinner. The Bible tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then there was a payment due for that sin. And that was eternal separation in a place called hell. And I could be willing to pay for that myself, but I also could choose to accept Jesus Christ and his payment for my sin. And so I repented of my sin and I accepted Jesus Christ and his payment for my sin. I want to ask you this tonight. What have you done with that gift? The choir presented it. He came. There's no doubt. There's no arguing with that. That's not open for debate. The fact is, he came. Now, some might argue why he came and whether or not he was really the Son of God, but I think that time will reveal, I know that time will reveal and history will reveal that he came as the Savior of the world. My question is, what will you do with that gift? Have you received it? Have you accepted that gift? Maybe you're here tonight and you've never received it. Can I tell you this? It's not too late. As long as you still have breath in your lungs and a beating heart in your chest and you still have life and you still have time on this earth and God has not returned and has not sent Jesus Christ to return yet, there's still time. And if you're here tonight and you have received it, are you regifting it? Are you sharing it with others? Do those around you know about the Lord Jesus Christ? His coming represents the greatest gift ever given. What will you do with it? 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I'd like to have every head bowed and every eye closed.